everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Gaming the System, the podcast where three intersectional feminists examine gaming through a feminist lens. Today, we are but two. I'm Matt, and with my co-host.
Hello, I'm Alex.
Hello, this is Alex. Thank you for being here, Alex.
Thank you.
We're going to have an episode. We're tentatively calling these episodes What the Fuck is Happening? As we're looking into the news of the month. Hopefully we'll have a few interesting chats, because as always there is some interesting weird stuff going on in the gaming and games world. And I should have added the games caveat to the intro today. I'm on a roll. Patreon.com/gamingthesystem and PayPal, send it to wearegamingthesystem@gmail.com. Okay, thank you. So the biggest game on earth, the biggest game of the year event to a lot of people, the Super Bowl happened over the weekend on Sunday, and Chiefs won. Let's go. The Chiefs are my team. I love the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is very inspirational to me. Yeah, Chiefs won. Sorry, it's been 2 days. It's impossible for anyone to have missed it by now who's really bothered about it. Did the Super Bowl touch you over the weekend at all, or did it sail by?
It largely sailed by. It cropped up in my subconscious briefly, mainly because of Taylor Swift. And also I think Usher may have been in the halftime show. I think the main bits I hear about are the halftime show, but I still don't really understand what it all means or the details that they're in. It's just something that people talk about a lot.
Yeah, it was quite a big deal. So there are two. So first off, I just want to say, yeah, let's go Chiefs. And it was the best game I've ever seen. I watched it the day after without adverts, and it was still 2.5 hours long. And it was just grinding like chess between physical chess. It was unbelievable. But what does this have to do with feminism, you say? We're going to start off with, I think, Taylor Swift. I'm sure that as everyone in the world knows that Taylor Swift is dating Travis Kelce, who is the tight end of one of the lead tight ends in the Chiefs and in the league. He's the highest paid in the league. And I think he's second in the running for best of all time in terms of yardage or something. Anyway, he's as good as it gets in that position. And he has been dating Taylor Swift for the last year. And she has been in, I want to say, well, the majority of Chiefs games, she has been in the Kelce private box in watching the game and losing her shit during the game. And there's been a lot of people just hating her because she's a woman and saying, not coming up with another justification for it. But the left turn I want to talk about is, it's being sort of scapegoated a bit by people who just hate her because she's a woman. But the private jet situation of the world at the minute. So Taylor has been on a world tour recently, and she has been flying a private jet back and forth to America to watch Travis's games. And so I want to ask, is this just a beautiful romantic story and there's nothing else to see here? Or should we be angry with Taylor Swift for taking these private jet flights?
I mean, we could be angry, but then we'd have to be angry at an awful lot of other people who've used private jets to get everywhere. Looking at sport as an example, the one sport that I follow pretty avidly over for many years, tennis, features plenty of players who, in the top 10 especially, who would travel with private jets all over the world to get from tournament to tournament, sometimes because the calendar is such that they're scheduled. And the only way they can get there in time is by private jet anyway. So, I mean, even outside of sport, there's probably plenty of very rich people who fly by private jet all over everywhere. So if you're going to be angry at one person, we should probably be angry at everyone who has a private jet and uses it to fly for everywhere. I guess what you're angling at is the reason important enough to use a private jet. Is that what you were angling at, or am I barking up the wrong tree there?
It's the so you've extended the topic perfectly, because it's one of those things where people who hate Taylor Swift because she's a billionaire woman with power, who she could have Travis Kelce assassinated and it wouldn't it wouldn't impact her at all. No one would be able to touch her. They just hate her because she's a woman who they don't have any, who is impossible for any normal man to, any man on the planet to control, really. And they go, oh, well, no, I don't hate her because she's a woman. I hate her because she's private jets. Yeah, private jets. I don't like her because of that, flying back and forth for this. But you're right. We shouldn't. If you're going to be angry with Taylor Swift for private jets, it's a completely divorced thing from the Travis Kelce and the football stuff.
Yeah.
Because we need to stop private jets entirely, because it's a devastating impact that the ultra wealthy have on the planet.
Indeed.
Just,
yes.
And it's completely unnecessary. Tournaments, massive. The tennis calendar needs to change if it can't fit all these things. So we'll come to, I've got another story. It's about sport and things that should be deal breakers in terms of the sporting world. Do you want to take a guess to end this bit off? Take a guess at how many private jet flights went to the Super Bowl.
Oh my goodness. I mean, how big is the stadium audience? It's quite large, I take it. What do you know offhand, like how many people are in the stadium? Or?
Probably 20,000 to 30,000.
Okay, so up that number, let's go for, I don't know, like 2,000.
you think less of the. You think less of them than they actually are. There's 882 private jets.
Okay.
Went to the Super Bowl.
I was trying to go off percentages, but obviously my brain's not kitted out for math this evening. But yeah, no, that's still an interesting number though. 882, did you say? Yeah. That's 882 too many, some would argue. I expect many people. Yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot of private jets.
Huh. It's aggravating because you just go, I've never been in first class air travel, but it looks awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
it looks like that's as good as it could need to be. There's no first class, and if you just went to the rich people and said, right, no more private jets, travel first class, that's all. And that would be a massive deal, but it would just be, it's so much just them just thinking they're awesome, going,
I mean, I get to fly my own private jet. Devil's advocate, if they're so, like, renowned, quote-unquote, the world over, is a private jet a question of better privacy for them when they're travelling, so that their life isn't invaded by, like, press paparazzi and things literally all the time?
Yeah, and again, that is easily solved by, they could book the entire first class of an airplane, and I assume that they don't travel anywhere in public without several bodyguards.
I would assume, yes.
There's, and I know that for the tennis tour, a lot of the players, there's like they don't own their own aircraft. They have a subscription to a private aircraft company that carries them from place to place. And you're just like, come on, there has to be a limit to the insanity of what money can buy you, because at some point it's enough.
Yeah.
And sick of this fucking people. So second half of this, of the Super Bowl story, I want to do. I'm going to show you a video.
Okay.
And I'll describe it for those of you who are listening to the show. Okay. So during the Super Bowl, you've got Okie Dokie Window. Right. Uh-huh. Can you see that?
I can, yes.
Okay, so that is number 87. That is Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. And the guy who he's walking towards is the head coach of the Chiefs.
Okay.
And there's just been the Chiefs had the ball, and a guy dropped it, and the ball's been turned over.
Okay.
And so actually I won't give you any more information. Okay. Just watch the video.
Cool.
And see what your reaction is. So, what just happened was, do you want to say what you saw?
Well, basically, he just yelled at the guy, like, right in his ear / face, like, really aggressively, and then tried to walk off. So, it was quite intimidating, it must have been. It made him jump. It just looked very aggressive and angry to me, and probably wasn't warranted, really. I don't know. How do you feel that? What was your take? I mean, you've had the context of the whole match, but...
Yeah, so the thing that happened was Travis Kelce went up to the head coach and grabbed his arm.
Oh, he grabbed
him. And was shouting at him.
Okay.
And the guy, he nearly fell over. And so when I first saw that, it looked like Travis had gone up to him and properly shaken him. And was shouting at him at the same time. But looking at it again, the coach, Andy Reid, he was completely focused looking forward.
Yeah.
And so when Travis grabbed his arm, it put him off balance.
Yeah.
But if you look at the way Travis grabbed him, it wasn't a sharp, it was a grab at the arm.
Yeah.
And Andy lost his footing, his balance a little bit. And Travis was shouting and very, very angry. And then walked off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I read it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to talk about, this was a good way to bring into the topic of men's sports people tantrums and their angry outbursts and what way we think they should be meaningful consequences for. So from what video you saw then, what do you think should be a response to that?
Well, it's usually, well, thinking about tennis as an example, if it was in a match, you'd get a warning for a code violation. For unsportsmanlike conduct or inappropriate language or that kind of thing, depending on what was said. You also get warnings for abuse as well, but I say that in terms of like racket abuse or ball abuse, where someone smashes a racket or hits a ball out of the stadium. Obviously, if someone hits somebody else with a tennis ball, they get disqualified straight away and that's the match over. And if there's anything worse than that, obviously, then they would probably be banned for a little while and fined. There's usually a fine if things escalate quite a lot. So I would say the appropriate response, or at least the practiced response from sport that I watch would probably be a fine and a warning, a slap on the wrist, so to speak, but probably nothing further than that without extra evidence or any cumulative evidence. But I don't know what it's like in American football, whether that's just par for the course or if they're actually doing something about it.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, especially when it's the absolute highest paid, absolute best players.
There's a sense of entitlement there, I think, from those players. They get away with a lot more because of the aura that they bring with them and the reputation they bring with them as well, which is a problem.
Yeah, and it's a terrible problem because that kind of behaviour needs to be so consequential that a player never gets to that point. Because there's a level of aggression and like intensity that is just sport. And then there's a bit above that where it needs to be a complete line in the sand. Mm. You get serious consequences for stepping that line. So even though Travis, he was surprised, and that's why he lost his balance. Travis touching someone else, or
is definitely
doing any kind of physical, it will show you a yeah. And the coach laughed it off and said, "Oh yeah, he just surprised me. Nothing to worry about." But any kind of physical, not just contact, but as a video I'll show in a moment, nearby stuff, needs to be line in the sand stuff that gets you, because I'll show you the next video and then we'll talk about the failures and the difficulty with punishing this kind of behavior. So I found, this is a tennis with our favourite player, Alexander Zverev.
Oh, yes.
This is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen on a tennis court.
I think I might know which one you're on about, if it's one from past, but I'll let you play the video.
Yeah, so I'll play it and then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
So if you are watching this, it's quite shocking to watch, so just fair warning. Okay, now I'm sharing my screen. So, had you seen that before?
I have indeed. I saw it.
Do you want to just talk us through what happened?
Live at the time. Basically, Zverev was playing in a doubles match, and the match ended. The team he was in lost, essentially, him and his partner lost in doubles. And he had all this pent up anger, obviously, and decided that he would start smashing his racket. He smashes it on the side of the umpire's chair. But doesn't stop there, continues smashing the racket right under the toes of the umpire as if he was aiming directly at the umpire's toes. Did it twice, broke his racket, left a hole in the umpire's chair, and then went on his merry way and left the court. And this was completely after the match, and I believe he was fined and banned for it for a little while. If I remember correctly, I could be wrong. He was definitely fined. But it just, what makes me, what was so unbelievable was that it was after the match had finished as well. It's not like, I mean, there are rules during a match and rules after a match, obviously. But yeah, I mean, you couldn't have done that like somewhere in the locker room or like somewhere where there wasn't people. Clearly his intent behind it was to intimidate the umpire. You can't tell me there's no intent malintent behind the gesture there. He was deliberately aiming at the umpire's feet to intimidate him, to make him feel bad about whatever. It's where I felt that the umpire did that wronged him somehow in that match to lead to the loss. And I honestly think that no loss is worth intimidating somebody and being violent towards somebody, especially a match official whose job it is to just, who's basically just trying to do their job. They don't need to get rackets swung at them violently just for doing their job. And I think it's disgusting.
Yeah. So he got a 8-week ban. That's and right. A $40,000.
Yeah. And also, interestingly, in the recent Netflix documentary, Breakpoint 2, there was a whole episode on Zverev which neglected to highlight that particular incident. It was completely written out of his story. It showed other aspects of recent matches or matches over the last few years, and it was portrayed in a very particular way to show Zverev in a very particular light and made absolutely no mention of that incident or, and indeed, the allegations of abuse that Zverev is currently due to head to court for in Germany. I don't think he has to attend in person, but there are a series of court dates over the course of the year, which one of which I believe starts in the French Open and runs right through Wimbledon as well. So that will be going on all of this year. And the Netflix documentary didn't even mention it, which I think shows that either himself or someone on his team or the Netflix documentary makers, for whatever reason, decided they wanted to show him in a particular light and present him as this comeback king from his ankle injury that happened last year and paint him as a character that you should root for and pity because they've had to come back from this terrible injury. But it just goes to show how selective portrayals of people aren't necessarily the whole picture.
Yeah, it's I'd like to do a longer episode just about Zverev and all his stuff at some point, even though it'll be a bit unpleasant.
Yeah,
but we'd find ways to laugh at him.
Yes, I'm sure. Yeah.
So that would get us through. Yeah, that's, again, you can be angry, you can shout, you can I don't mind a bit of swearing, and any kind of, if it's any bit ever directed at anyone,
including the player themselves as well, I think that's an important part to acknowledge. Sometimes players hurt themselves when they're angry, which is also quite bad. But carry on.
Yeah, so any kind of, because when you direct your anger at someone else, you're trying to subdue someone else. You're trying to hurt someone else in some way. And particularly trying to scare someone. That's sick. That's really sick. And that hitting the umpire's chair, that needs to be banned for a long time. If not banned outright, that needs to be at least a year ban. Because look what the message of that is. He didn't just shout. He got, I think it was two unsportsmanlike he got two fines for swearing.
Yeah.
And an unsportsmanlike conduct. And because he's one of the best players in the world, they just go, we haven't. $40,000 is nothing.
It's nothing. Nothing.
To him. And it's a double. He's a singles player. It was a doubles match in a random. Yeah.
Which clearly also shows that he's got a lot of anger issues that he can't process particularly well. And also, I mean, I don't know what's behind it. It's obviously all allegations right now, but you have to wonder, to behave like that and to react like that to a doubles loss, which isn't even a singles, like you say, he's a singles player, points to a person who cannot handle their anger, and it comes out in violent physical ways. That's all I'm saying. And we will find out what will happen later this year, and I'm sure we'll hopefully hear more about it. But yeah, you've got to wonder. You can't not join the dots.
Yeah, and I think there should be extra serious consequences for people who, if you have generational wealth, you don't get to be stroppy about anything.
No.
Because Travis Kelce and Alexander Zverev have untold millions of dollars, and they're both very young. They've both got loads of endorsements. They and their families are going to be set for generations. So anything that they do in life is for fun. It's completely recreational. They have no... It doesn't... If a player who smashed a racket on the umpire's thing if he'd won that match, then he would have just about been able to afford his flight home from the tournament. That's one thing. But when you're 27 and you have definitely well over $50 million, you don't get to be stroppy about anything. And that, I've been thinking about it too much, because that's just irritating. So we'll bring that segment of the show to a close, and thank you very much for watching or listening, and there will be more to come soon. Bye. We hope you enjoyed that episode of Gaming the System. If you want to support us, you can donate to us through our PayPal by sending it to wearegamingthesystem@gmail.com. If you want to send us a one-off donation, if you want to donate to us monthly, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/gamingthesystem. Until next time, bye-bye.